Today's reading is from Philippians chapter 4, verses 10 through 14. I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last you have revived your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned for me, but had no opportunity to show it. Not that I am referring to being in need, for I have learned to be content with whatever I have. I know what it is to have little, and I know what it is to have plenty. In any and all circumstances, I have learned the secret of being well-fed and of going hungry, of having plenty and of being in need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. In any case, it was kind of you to share my distress. This is the word of the Lord.
So before I moved here, I lived in a little town in North Florida. And when I first came to that church, you know, one of the most important things when you move to a new place is, you know, who's going to cut your hair? So I asked around some of the guys in the church, and they pointed to me to a guy named Albert. Albert had a little barber shop along with his wife, whose name was Alberta, which was interesting. So Albert and Alberta, and they both cut hair in this little shop. And I went there, regularly during the years that I lived there. And one time when I went into the shop, you know, there on the counter along with the different hair care products was a little bottle of sauce, and it was on the label. It said Grandma's Secret Barbecue Sauce. And Albert and Alberta were selling this out of their shop, and I was kind of curious about it, and I went to one of the guys in the church who had referred me there in the first place. And I said, hey, do you see that barbecue sauce that he's selling there? And my friend Robert said, yeah, it should have remained a secret. And, you know, that's the way that it is. You know, some secrets should remain a secret. But there are other secrets that ought to be shared. Secrets that should be shared. And today I want to talk about one of those kind of secrets, the secret of contentment. The secret of being content. You know, I know very few people who are content. But I know a lot of folks who wish that they were. And if you're one of those, I want to share with you a secret today. Would you pray with me? Lord, thank you so much for the opportunity to gather together around the Word, a Word that instructs us and teaches us. We ask, God, that you would speak into our hearts and to our lives this morning. In Christ's name, amen. So back in the day, when I was a little bit more adventuresome, I just graduated from college, and I had a buddy, one of my fraternity brothers, who's had a brother, a biological brother, who had just moved to Sacramento, California, and he needed someone to drive his car across country. And so we raised our hands to do this, and we allocated a month to drive across the country and to see the sights and go on this adventure. And so we pulled our monies together, and if I recall correctly, between the two of us, we had $250 to spend a month on the road. And we put together a little bit of budget, and it would cost about $175 for the gas to do that, which left us about $75 to live for a month. Out on the road, the two of us. And so in our little budgeting exercise, we budgeted zero for lodging and figured we'd just make it up as we went along. And so off we went in a Volkswagen Rabbit. We had a tent and a couple sleeping bags, a little cooler with some sandwiches my mom made, and our $250, and we took off for California and drove across the country. And we did kind of map it out because we had some family and friends along the way. We knew a couple of college towns that had fraternities that were part of our fraternity, where there's a fraternity house that we thought maybe they'd let us sleep there. And it was absolutely crazy. I mean, we would go from day to day with the most crazy swings of fortune that you can possibly imagine. One day we'd be sleeping on a couch in a fraternity house. We never stayed any place more than two nights. Then we'd be staying at, my brother's house somewhere along the line. We'd be sleeping in one of the national parks. We'd be on top of a picnic table in a truck rest stop. We met somebody whose father was a big lawyer in Los Angeles. We stayed in their guest cottage for two nights. And the next night we were sleeping on the beach with the fog rolling in. We were soaking wet until we climbed into the car. It was absolutely the craziest month of my life. And I found out something very important, that the more important thing wasn't our circumstances, it was the person you were traveling with that made all the difference. And, as I read this passage from the Apostle Paul, while our adventure was kind of a lark, his life's adventure was serious business. And he is able to say that no matter what his circumstances, he discovered the secret of contentment. He says, I have learned to be content with whatever I have. I know what it's like to have little. I know what it's like to have plenty. In any and all circumstances, I have learned the secret of contentment. I've learned the secret of contentment. Contentment is one of the most difficult things for us to have. Every time we think we have it, it escapes. It's like trying to wipe the bottom of a wiggly baby. You just get them set, and then they wiggle out of your grasp. They change, and you think you have the mess under control, and you find out it's everywhere. Have you ever had those days where you just feel like you've got life pulled together? You have like a day off and you run all the errands and you fix all the little things and you pay all the bills and you've got it. You've got it contained. And then the next day happens and it slips out of your grasp. Life has a way of doing that. It just takes our content, our fixed point, and it moves and it changes, and we don't have it under control, and things happen that we didn't see coming that just rob us of that sense of peace that we worked so hard to get. I know very few people who are content, but I know a lot of people who wish that they were. Paul, his life was one long road trip of unpredictable events. Some cities he'd be welcomed back like a returning son. In others he'd be run out of town on a rail, beaten within an inch of his life. Ups and downs, days, weeks, months in prison, sailing ships, everything that you could possibly imagine. And he also suffered from some kind of a physical affliction. He called it a thorn in my flesh. He never tells exactly what it was. Some people think he had a problem with his eyesight. Some people think it was a problem with speech. Some people think it may have been something else very serious. And he said he kept asking God to take this affliction away from him. It was upsetting him. It was robbing him of his contentment. And as he sought relief from whatever this problem was in his life, he said God spoke to him and gave him this answer. He said, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is perfected in weakness." So Paul said, "Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me." What Paul discovered is that his contentment wasn't found in physical health and strength. His contentment wasn't found in having enough money, in having enough security, in having enough peace. His strength, his secret of contentment, was found in his relationship with Jesus. Jesus said to him, my grace is sufficient. My presence in your life, my relationship with you is all that you really need in order to be content. Sometimes we talk about the sufficiency of Christ. Scriptures speak about us having our sufficiency in Jesus. And that's a beautiful word, that Jesus is all that we need. Some people think, well, if I have a relationship with Jesus and a really great education and a really great job and lots of money and lots of friends and, then I'll be content. But what the Bible says is all of those other things come and go. There is an unpredictability about our circumstances. What we need is a sufficient relationship with a sufficient Savior. As one person says, all joy, peace, meaning, value, purpose, hope, fulfillment in life, now and forever, is bound up in Christ. And when a person receives Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, they enter into an all-sufficient relationship with an all-sufficient Savior. What Paul is sharing is that the secret of contentment isn't to be found in the things of the world, it's to be found in our relationship with Jesus Christ. That is what gives us contentment. A contentment the world simply can't provide for us, even though we desperately long for the world to make us secure and content and happy and peaceful. It simply doesn't deliver. Horatio Spafford was a lawyer who lived in Chicago back in the 1800s, the late 1800s, and very, very successful. He and his wife Anna had 5 children. He was a successful lawyer, and he also ran a successful business, very wealthy man, but also a very deeply committed Christian. Now, his life hadn't gone smoothly all the time, and in fact, one of their 5 children, their son, died of pneumonia when he was just a little kid. He lost his entire business at one point in the Great Chicago Fire and was able to rebuild following that. And he and his wife and their 4 daughters were planning a trip to Europe. November the 21st, 1873, his wife and 4 daughters boarded a French ocean liner to go on the trip because he had a business emergency come up, and he said, I'll join you in about 4 or 5 days. And while they were crossing the ocean, their boat collided with an iron-hulled Scottish ship, and suddenly the boat began to sink. The passengers, 313 of them, came up onto the deck. Anna and her 4 daughters knelt, and they prayed, and in 12 minutes, the ship sunk. Of the 313, 226 people perished. Anna, his wife, was able to cling to a piece of the wreckage, but the 4 girls, Annie, Margaret, Lee, Bessie, and Tanetta, went to their deaths. News of the crash reached Horatio Spafford. Not knowing what had happened, he made haste to join what, if any, left of his family, and he got this telegram from Anna, saved alone. What shall I do? I don't know what kind of discontent you may be struggling with right now. Worries about your children, about your health, about your future, about your finances, about the world in which we live, but can you imagine this man's struggle? There was somebody who had a reason to be discontent. It would be Horatio Spafford. As he's crossing the ocean, the captain, 4 days into the journey, the captain said, "This is the place where the ship went down." Spafford went down to his passage and he grabbed a pen and a piece of paper and he began to write a poem that became a song that is called "It Is Well." And the first verse goes like this: "When peace like a river attendeth my way, or when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul. It is well, 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 it is well with my soul." Friends, that is contentment. The secret of contentment is not what we can get from this world. The secret of contentment is to be found in our relationship with Jesus Christ. Lord, thank you for revealing that deep and most important secret to us. I pray for my friends who often feel so restless and unfulfilled and empty, that you, God, are our all-sufficient Savior, that with you we lack absolutely nothing. Our lives are filled to overflowing. Whatever this world may give to us or take from us, God, in no way diminishes nor changes the love that you have for us. And because of that, it is well, and our joy is complete. In this world of restless people, God, I pray for my brothers and sisters here that they would find contentment. In Christ's name, amen.